from KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Joshua Johnson. Scientists in the Bay Area and elsewhere are racing to see what they can do with a new genetic tool. It's called CRISPR. CRISPR lets biologists make precise changes to the DNA in a cell, and that could have big implications for medicine. Here's KQED science reporter Amy Standen.
Yeah. They named him Phoenix because he was born prematurely, spent his early weeks in an incubator.
You tell him how hard it was.
But when they got him home to San Francisco, things just got worse, says Phoenix's mom, Kristen Wilkinson.
We went home for about 2 weeks, and then we were admitted at the hospital for failure to thrive.
Phoenix was born in Kentucky, a state that doesn't test infants for something called SCID. And at UCSF's Benioff Children's Hospital, they found out that's exactly what he had.
SCID stands for Severe Combined Immune Deficiency.
This is Phoenix's doctor, Jennifer Puck. She says he basically had no natural immune system.
Babies who don't have this immunity start out getting one infection after another and can't get over any of them.
This disease used to be called bubble boy disease because kids who had it spent their lives in plastic bubbles to avoid germs. Nowadays, the treatment is different. Today's SCID babies get bone marrow transplants. That gives them the ability to make healthy white blood cells, restoring their immune systems.
If he wouldn't have gotten this transplant, he wouldn't be here.
But transplants are tough on babies and their families. There's the waiting for the right donor and then a round of chemotherapy to prepare the baby's body for the transplant.
Probably the hardest time for all of us was when he started feeling the effects of chemo.
Phoenix had painful sores on the inside of his mouth. He stopped breastfeeding, had to be fed intravenously.
He was throwing up, really nauseous. Anytime he was awake, he was screaming. He never was awake and not screaming.
Today, Phoenix is 6 months old and doing great. But Dr. Puck and others want better treatment for babies like him. The best idea would be to fix Phoenix's own cells, take them out, reprogram them so that they can make an immune system, and then put them back in. Phoenix would be his own donor. That means no fear of rejection, no chemo.
Actually, just correcting the spelling mistake of the gene in the person and not putting in any new genetic material is very attractive. That should be safer.
But this, and it's called gene therapy, is really hard to do. Maybe one way to explain why is to picture a string of Christmas tree lights with one broken bulb on it. That string is the DNA inside someone's cell. The broken bulb is the mutation. So you want to replace the broken bulb, but the string is way too small to see. So how do you know that you're taking out the right bulb and putting a new one in the right spot? In the 1990s, doctors in Europe tried this kind of fix on a group of babies with SCID. With mixed results.
The problem was that in placing the correct copy of the gene into a chromosome, we couldn't direct where it was going to land. And sometimes it landed in a dangerous spot.
A spot that just happened to cause cancer. 5 children got leukemia, 1 died.
It was a devastating time for the entire field.
Today, Puck is excited about a new and much more accurate tool, a new way to make precise changes in a baby's genome and potentially cure the disease. The tool is called CRISPR.
You could think of it like a molecular scalpel.
This is Jennifer Doudna, a researcher at UC Berkeley and author of one of the first major papers on CRISPR. Doudna isn't a doctor or even a medical researcher. She studies bacteria, even more specifically, an enzyme produced by bacteria. And what's amazing about this enzyme is that it has a natural ability to find exactly the broken bulb and to fix it. Doudna's team realized they could program this enzyme.
And make a very precise change that corrects mutations that would otherwise give rise to disease.
This idea of fixing the DNA in a cell isn't new, but CRISPR works dramatically better than the old ways. It's more accurate, faster.
Many scientists are just, you know, they're sort of in a state of wonder about this in a way.
On the day we met, Doudna was showing people around a brand new research center at UC Berkeley devoted to CRISPR research. There are now several such centers, dozens of CRISPR researchers, people working with the cells of mice, monkeys, cows, plants, and humans.
CRISPR works in almost every organism that's been tried in.
dozens.
So far, notes Harvard geneticist George Church, there are no CRISPR treatments yet in clinical trials. That could change in a few years, though for which disease, it's hard to say.
Sickle cell anemia, you know, clotting diseases and muscular dystrophies, blindness.
If CRISPR turns out to be a big deal for people who have these diseases, it'll also be a big financial deal for scientists like Doudna, who helped develop it. And by big, Jacob Shurko of the New York Law School means really big.
Just oodles and oodles of money, potentially in the $200 billion to $300 billion range.
This windfall, he says, could go in part to whomever holds key patents on CRISPR. But here's the rub. Even though the UC Doudna team filed their application first, the key CRISPR patent went to another researcher, Feng Zhang, at MIT's Broad Institute.
MIT and the Broad Institute paid additional money to have an expedited review of their patent application.
UC didn't take that step. Feng Zhang got the patent. UC is waiting to see what the patent office will say about its application. I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
So who is going to make those oodles of money? Amy Standen is with us in studio. Amy, could you give me a sense of how all this might shake out?
Sure. Well, there's a few things that could happen. For one, the U.S. Patent Office could take the patent away from the Broad Institute and award it to the UC team, Dr. Doudna and her collaborators. Apparently, that does happen sometimes. Or it could turn out that there are a lot of CRISPR patents on different aspects of the technology. It's not always clear at this really early stage in the game which little piece of the technology is going to turn into some huge blockbuster tool. There could also be lawsuits, of course. And I guess there's one last possibility, which is that CRISPR doesn't live up to all this hype. And in that case, this is just much ado about nothing.
Got it. So it really does depend on what the future holds in terms of how CRISPR shakes out.
Absolutely.
That's KQED science reporter Amy Standen. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Joshua.
More Bay Area news is just ahead. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.